You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. Being that it's Friday, you know what that means. There is a game about to take place. Michigan entering week three, hosting Northern Illinois, which should be the easiest game left on the schedule. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we are joined today, as always, on Fridays by the Mackey Award winning tight end, Jake Butt, to help us preview this game. Jake, thank you for joining. Can't wait to get into the expectations of this week three matchup, man.
Always good to be here, Isaiah. I'm excited, man. Let's dive in.
All right. So we have this game coming up. It's kind of a lackluster opponent. This should be, on paper, Michigan's easiest game for the rest of the season. That said, there are some things that maybe will cause some people to lose a little bit of sleep going into it. Probably not much. I think that people are really honestly thinking that this one's going to be a walk in the park, which it should. But you look at Rocky Lombardi coming in from he was Michigan State's quarterback last year. Everyone remembers how that game went. Lots of 50-50 balls that unfortunately ended up in Jaden Reed's hands. He doesn't have any receivers of that caliber. He's thrown 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions so far this year. Nonetheless, when you're going up against a quarterback who has had success against you in the past, how much does that, when you're in that locker room, when you're about to take that field, how much does that kind of factor in to your thought process of, hey, that guy had success against me last year? It doesn't matter what uniform he wore. Does that play a part? Does it not play a part? What do you think, Jake?
Frankly, it really shouldn't matter. The way our defense has been playing and the opponent we're going up against this week, it really, really shouldn't matter. Maybe there's a little bit of a little taste of blood from what happened last year in our defense's mouth. But overall, this, we have them outmatched. And really, we should look for another dominant performance again this week. And that's what I'm expecting from the Michigan defense.
Well, we'll stay on the defensive side of the ball here and continue to discuss what the factors are there. Rocky Lombardi has not thrown the ball well yet this year, so that isn't a level of concern. But we have seen Northern Illinois being able to run the ball. They did have an upset in week one going up against Georgia Tech. So they certainly are going into this game, I'm sure, with a feeling of, hey, we can repeat what we did last 2 weeks ago. They lost to Wyoming in a high scoring game. So when you, I know you didn't play on the defensive side of the ball, but when you go into a game like this, how much do you have to guard against overconfidence, right? Like, I know that you particularly, and the teams that you were on, like we talked before about having that killer instinct, and yeah, your teams that you were on certainly had it in the latter years in 15 and 16. How much when you go into a game kind of knowing that this is a foregone conclusion, you're going to win this game, how much do you have to kind of tell yourself, hey, no, I still need to go out and prove it?
Yeah, well, you have that, and then you also have the danger of what you kind of find in the game of football is high emotion games the previous week. They kind of wear you out going into the next week. So I know this wasn't, you know, it wasn't a barn burner last week. But you could definitely see the level of emotion that the team came out and played with last week. You're not going to get that level of excitement in the stadium this week. You're not going to be able to psych yourself up like NIU is some, you know, national champion that we have to bring our A game for. So there is that level of challenge of, you know, can we still be prepared? Can we still come out and put out a dominant performance? So you are going to know a lot about the team going into this week and how they prepare and how they come out. Especially earlier in the game, you don't want to see them sleepwalking. You still want them to go out there and try to put out a dominant performance. So, and again, man, you kind of want this game to be a boring game. You don't want to come back in the game review and say, well, you know, have a bunch of things that you could have worked on. You kind of want things to go exactly as you expected this week, and you'll feel a lot better about your performance.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said on the morning drip this morning is, you not only want just a typical go, not obviously not go through the motions, but, you know, get through the game. You want to remain healthy, because the first week of the season, obviously, we saw Michigan have a scenario where it was playing what should be essentially a boring opponent. It wasn't boring for Michigan fans, given what happened in 2020, but nonetheless, like, you want to be able to see, you wanted to be able to see the progress, but they didn't emerge healthy, right? They played about as perfect as a game as they could in week one, but you lose Ronnie Bell for the season. Obviously, we do have to talk about the offensive side of the ball and what we would like to see happen in on that side. We will do that momentarily, but it's still like getting through this game healthy to me is the most important thing, but also of critical importance, given that this is supposed to be a team that Michigan beats handily. It's well into, I think the line is something like 27.5 or something like that. I want to be able to see some of those backups get more time, kind of like we saw in week one. I think that's a critical to be able to find out who else you might have that can come in and maybe provide a spark down the road. Jake, you were a starter for a lot of, or at least a high level contributor through most of your career. We knew that you were going to be an X factor, basically, I think your freshman year. But how important is it in a game like this to be able to get some of those backups in, to get them live game reps against some real different bodies in a different uniform?
Definitely, absolutely. And this was something I was thinking about too, where, you know, football, as we saw in week one, as we see every single week across the country, injuries happen. It's a violent sport. Sometimes they're planned, sometimes it's just making a cut and something happens. So at some point throughout the season, you're going to have to rely on your depth, and you can practice it and kind of get an idea in practice if you can count on, but the game reps are extremely valuable. So like you said, this week's going to be big for us to get out to a huge lead early on, control the game, and then kind of start to evaluate, you know, where we have depth. Maybe a guy is who we thought he was or isn't who we thought he was in practice, and make necessary adjustments as the season goes on, because it's just the nature of football. Is at some point we are going to have to, you know, dip into our second and third string of who we thought they were at the beginning of the season.
Yep, that's 100%. Totally agree there. Just it's because you never know what's going to happen. Like, obviously, what happened in week one, suddenly you're relying on maybe some guys to step up. In Ronnie Bell's absence, maybe we'll see a little bit more from Andrell Anthony or Christian Dixon. They've got four games that they can play and still keep their red shirt, which I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is very cognizant of that. Anyway, before we move on, we'll talk a little bit more about the offense, what we want to see. If there's anything that maybe scares you a little bit about this game, I know we're pretty confident that this is going to be a blowout, but nonetheless, if there's anything that you have your eye on, and then kind of what you want to see before we get to our final score predictions. But before we do, Jake, I got to tell you a little bit about something that I absolutely love. I've told you about it before. Everyone that's listened to Lockdown Wolverines has heard me talk about Built Bar. If you don't know, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb, everything that you want. I tend to have two at a time because I can use it as a meal replacement. And honestly, because I have zero willpower, I taste something delicious and I'm like, I want another one of those. The peanut butter brownie is my personal favorite. I've bought dozens of boxes of my own volition, even though they send me, I'd say something every 2-3 months, I get something from Built Bar, but I still keep going and buying boxes on my own because I choose them on my own. So go to built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off of that next order. Built.com, LOCKED15. To get your next order of Built Bar. All right, so we have plenty of game stuff to talk about. Jake, when you look at a game like this, like neither of us, I would imagine, and I don't know your score prediction yet. Mine's been out there for a day because I put it out a little bit earlier than I normally have, but it's one of those things where we look at a game like this and we say Michigan's going to win by at least 3 scores, if not 5. You know, it's if Michigan is the team that it's supposed to be at near the top of the Big Ten, it's going to roll. It's going to go out there and do its business. really, and no MAC team should stop that, right? But what are you, if there is anything, is there anything that you look at in this game and say, I'm a little concerned about this? This, whether it's a matchup, whether it's something in Michigan's own house. You already mentioned the idea of, having that big emotional game the week before and how the week after that can sometimes play a factor. Is there anything that you look at and say, well, got to kind of monitor this as the game's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much that I'm concerned about. And, you know, I would hope that that's, you know, the mindset throughout the entire program. This is a team, again, that we should beat. We really should dominate. But I think you could tell a lot about a team in a game like this initially in those first 5 to 10 minutes of the first quarter. How are they taking the field? Can they create emotion and desire from within their own locker room that where they're not relying on a night game and, you know, 110,000 fans and, a big time environment? Can they create that energy from within? And the way the program's gone, we talked about it the past couple of years, is we really shouldn't overlook any opponent. We should take the field with that fire and passion like we have something to prove. And until we do raise that trophy that says we're Big Ten champions, you know, we haven't earned that right yet. So I'm really looking forward to those first 5 to 10 minutes, seeing if we come out with passion, see if we come out trying to step on their neck and finish this game really in the first quarter to second quarter and kind of just take the will out of NIU. So I think we're going to tell a lot of if the team does come out and succeed early. That speaks on the leadership and that speaks on the belief within the locker room of what this team can be. And that's really what I expect. They've given me no reason to believe otherwise based on the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think that, we've seen that in the first couple of weeks. We saw that killer instinct even against Washington, even though it didn't look the way that I think any of us really anticipated. With that in mind, I think that we're not necessarily going to see a terribly different game plan. I mean, probably more similar to Western Michigan than what we saw against Washington. I don't think they're going to run the ball 56 times this game. However, Northern Illinois' biggest weakness through 2 weeks is its inability to stop the run, which leads me to believe that the game plan will probably call for more running. However, unlike Washington, even though their pass defense has been okay, I don't know that Georgia Tech nor Wyoming, which is NIU's first two opponents, that they have any kind of prolific pass game or anything, but they haven't really let up a lot in terms of passing. We obviously want to see more passing, but when you go into a game like this, how much do you think that Michigan is going to potentially rely on passing for the sake of, yeah, you want to see get those live reps like we talked about on X's and O's, but you also don't want to necessarily show Rutgers and Wisconsin what they would be defending against in that type of light?
See, we have to dig into our bag. That's a good thing and a bad thing that we're going to have success running the ball. Sometimes it could be a little too easy. I'm really looking forward to, and I'm not concerned necessarily about showing our passing concepts. What I want to see is complementing, play action with concepts that complement our run game success so well. Not just going out there and running our bread and butter passing concepts, but giving the defense multiple things to think about on a given look. So we're having success running the ball. Can we do play action and find seams down the middle of the field? Can we get the tight ends involved? Can we see, who is our next Ronnie Bell, or maybe it's one or two guys? We got to really find out who we can count on and who we are in the passing game, really. I fully believe if we wanted to, we could have another 300-yard rushing game this week, but I don't think that's the point. I think we kind of have to put a little bit of money in the bank deposits for later in the season when we are going to need to have success passing the ball. And I really hope we kind of get to see a little bit of that this week.
Yeah, I think I like that money in the bank quote. I think that's pretty good, especially because now we know Michigan can run the ball seemingly at will. And I don't think you have a point to prove here. I don't think you're going to be seeing the same kind of you're not going to be seeing the same kind of pass defense that Washington trotted out there, where they've got some definite NFL guys out on the edges. So I obviously would like to see more passing. Do I think that they will? Yes. I don't know how much more. I would imagine that there will be more passing attempts in this game than there has been to date, but will it be more than the what, 17 passes that were thrown against Western? Probably. By how much? I'm not really sure. You also have to kind of shore up some things in special teams. Jim Harbaugh has said multiple times now that he doesn't want Caden Colasar to be the punt returner. He wants him to be a rusher because he feels like he is the team's best special teamer when he's rushing. But yet he's still taking reps in practice. He's still doing that. But it'd be nice to see all three phases come together the same way they did in week one. That's going to be a challenge in of itself. But let's stay with the offense briefly, meandering around here a little bit. But were you concerned at all by Cade McNamara's 7-for-15 performance, or do you feel like that's just, I mean, Michigan only threw downfield twice, completed one, the big 33-yarder to Cornelius Johnson, but otherwise they pretty much were keeping things lateral. Are you concerned at all with the fact that he didn't have that high completion game like he had in week one, or do you think that was just more what the defense was giving them and Michigan not really trying to test the boundaries?
I mean, I'm definitely not putting the blame on Cade in this sense. I keep talking about it. I didn't really see any creative pass concepts. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, you know, basic four verts. You know, we had the one completion down the sideline, which was just literally all go. You know, and then there was a couple like basic spacing concepts that are just like short little dink and dunk routes. And if someone isn't open right away, there's not a lot of room to be creative there. There's not a lot of room to make a play as a quarterback. And then you also have the factor of losing Ronnie Bell week one, where Cade, he's going to have to figure out in live game reps who he can trust too. So there's a number of things working there. And of course it's hard for him to get in a rhythm when you're running the ball so successfully. So I don't think it was one thing necessarily. I think it was a little here, a little there that added up to a lot. I still really believe in Cade. And again, I think there's something to be said about having a leader under center that kind of settles everybody's nerves. I think that's what Cade does really, really well, you know. But, you know, credit honestly really to the offensive line and what they've done so far this season. The big boys up front are just really moving people in the run game and you know, providing pretty damn good protection in the pass game too. And I think, you know, a lot of our offense is going to be dictated on their performance.
Yeah, and kind of a weird game going in after the having that Washington game in week two. I feel like there's not a lot to really look into in this matchup other than what is Michigan going to do? How much is Michigan going to find ways to improve against the live bullets? I think it's going to be interesting. We're going to continue momentarily. Give what you think is going to happen in this game. Maybe like a player that you're looking out for, and then final predictions from both of us. But before we do that, do obviously have to talk about the fact that we are back and better than ever. All eyes are now on the gridiron because football is back, baby. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season with the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to BetOnline.ag, sign up today, receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we are in the home stretch, not just in the podcast, we're in the home stretch for the week, finally almost to the football game. I know that I'm excited. I'm sure you are as well, Jake. So it's time to start to dig into our own bag here and try to figure out what's going to happen in the game. Jake, putting on your prognosticator's hat, I'd give that to you, but that's you've got your own. You've got your Michigan hat. That's the skinny black M. That's good enough. But How would you anticipate this game is going to go in your mind's eye?
I think it's going to be pretty boring. I think it's going to be, going to be a successful game for Michigan. Stout defensive performance, keeping it low scoring. We're going to have a lot of success running the ball. And I'm really hoping and expecting that we reach into our bag of complementary play action passing game and kind of scheming some of our receivers and tight ends open and just putting on another good performance.
I don't disagree. I think you're going to see, I'm assuming the running game is going to, I think, be where it starts, but then I think you'll see a bit more passing. I think that it'll be one of those games where Michigan's passing even in the fourth quarter, even up big, because they just need to get a little bit of something, kind of like seeing JJ McCarthy still throwing late in the game, still adding to the score, getting some style points. I think Michigan needs some style points, right? I understand it's, you take everything one game at a time, you focus on beating the opponent you have in front of you. But if Michigan can't go out there and do kind of what it wants to do against NIU, there's bigger problems afoot. I think that they certainly have the capability of saying, we want to run the ball here. We want to pass the ball here. We want to test this. We want to test that, kind of get some live feedback in that light. So that's what I'm anticipating. That's what I'm expecting to see. All right. Before we get to the final score, who are the players that you're keeping an eye out for in this game to have maybe either a breakout or just having a big impact in this particular game?
Well, maybe not the answer you're looking for, but the one guy I actually am excited, and you kind of hinted at it a little bit, is I do want to see JJ McCarthy. I hope he's going to get in. This is a game where really your starter should be done playing by, the early third quarter. I'd like to see JJ McCarthy get a good number of series under his belt, continue to, again, put deposits in for later in the season, if and when we do need him, and try to, practice just commanding the offense, practice the snap counts, practice getting everybody lined up and the motions in place, and then getting progressions in his reads. And again, building confidence and making plays like he did. We got to see him do a little bit week one. So, if he can go out there and, put together 3, 4, 5 series, have some success, put some points on the board, I think that's only going to benefit us down the stretch.
I was hoping you were going to say Eric All, because I saw him at breakfast. It's a good omen, right?
Yes, that's a good omen.
I think for guys that I'm looking for, I want to see some of those wide receivers. The guy I really want to see continue to break out, we saw him in week one. Granted, it was a run play and end around, but I want to see more AJ Henning. AJ Henning is the guy that I really want to see take that next step. I remember in his recruitment, he was a jack of all trades. He's a little bit more diminutive in stature, but he's got speed in spades, not to be confused with in space, but in spades. And I think that he could certainly be your yards after catch guru the way that Ronnie Bell was. So I really want to see AJ Henning be that guy to take the mantle, say, all right, it's my second year. It's time. That's when Ronnie Bell started taking everything forward, right? Was in year two. So as much as some of these guys are young still, I'd really like to see him. And you know what, Mike Sainer still, it's his time now. I mean, he's been doing a great job blocking. We haven't really seen the receptions in his tenure yet. And considering that he was a guy that's been hyped up since the spring of 2019, again, a guy that theoretically should get you a lot of yards after catch. He's another guy I'd really think that could take that step forward. All right, Jake, this is it. Final score prediction. What do you think is going to happen on the scoreboard? What do you got?
I'm going to give it a 42-10 Michigan victory.
You still are very conservative compared to me. I've got Michigan winning. I'm giving NIU 2 more points. I'm giving him 12 points. I'm giving Michigan 52.
Okay.
I think Michigan gets up into because I think that I think this is a worse team than Western Michigan. I think that Michigan's not going to leave a lot of anything on the field. I think that they're going to get 5 more points, and I think they'll hold them to 2 less than Western Michigan. So We'll see. I predicted a close game last week. You I think predicted not as close of a game, if I'm not mistaken. And you were closer last week. So we're 1-1.
One. Right. Tiebreaker coming up.
Exactly. Well, we got a long season ahead of us anyway. All right. So that'll do it for the Mackey Award winning tight end, Jake Butt. I am Isaiah Hole. And thanks for listening and or watching, or both, hopefully. Anyway, we'll talk to you soon after the game. Thanks for listening/watching. Peace.